the Will Cain Podcast on ESPN Radio.
It's hard to understand from a distance. It's hard to understand. Did Dak cave? Did the Cowboys just win? It's hard to understand unless you pull out and look at the contract negotiation in Dallas not through the prism of the past and not through just simply the last month, but look into the future and answer the question, why did Dak Prescott just sign his franchise tag? It's the Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80, and on ESPN News, presented by Progressive Insurance. And you can join the conversation at 888-729-3776 on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. We got a lot to talk about today. We got a lot to talk about this week. As we enter the final week of the Will Cain Show, we'll continue to play some of our greatest hits over the last 2.5 years, or perhaps some of our lowest lights over the last 2.5 years. Plus, at least two topics I find fascinating and somewhat difficult to answer. First, in the UFC this weekend, a fighter tried to call it off 9 times, but his corner didn't let him. Was that abuse? Or was that motivation? Every time we talk about the return of sports in the coronavirus world, we talk about it from a policy perspective. We talk about it in terms of, hey, when will this league come back? What kind of risks is this university running? You know what we never talk about? Individual choice. What would you choose to do? If you're a college football player, do you want to take the risk? Do you go to the grocery store? Do you wear a mask? Every single day, every single one of us are making choices. Risk calculations. What would you choose if you were an athlete, collegiate or professional? What if truly freedom is what dictated the future of this country through the coronavirus pandemic? If you were free to make the choice, what would you do? Let's have that conversation, plus many more, today here on the Will Cain Show. But let us start with answering the question of why it is that Dak Prescott would sign his franchise tag. The Cowboys and their franchise quarterback had until July 15th to work out a long-term deal. Dak wants a 4-year contract. The Cowboys want a 5-year contract. We don't know for sure how much money, either annually or in guaranteed total, the two parties are apart. But we know that time is of the essence, and time didn't seem to be pressing. Why would Dak Prescott sign his franchise tag now? For the more conspiratorially minded, or at least defensive minded, you could make the argument that Mike Florio made this weekend on Pro Football Talk. No, the Rome rumors are not true. Florio was not destroyed, at least to completion, this weekend. He had a thought which would lead you to believe that could be defensive in why he signed his franchise tag. It goes like this here. Well, there is at least a chance that the Cowboys could still rescind the franchise tag. Think about this. They could take that money. They could give it to Jadeveon Clowney, maybe to Cam Newton, or trade for Jamal Adams, sign him to an extension, and turn the team over to Andy Dalton or Cam Newton. And then Dak's a free agent on a market where he would be met with what? Budgets are committed. Team plans are in place. It would be hard for Dak to find a big market at this late in the game. So being defensive-minded, Dak and his representation might say, let's get this done. Let's take that risk, however small, 10% in your risk assessment, whatever it may be, let's take it off the table. That would be your defensive or conspiratorial mindset. But I don't think that's why Dak Prescott signed his franchise tag. No, I think the reason is it just shifted leverage from the Cowboys to Prescott. It works like this, as laid out by ESPN's NFL insider, Adam Schefter.
And I think it starts the clock on Dak's leverage. He's got the leverage in my mind because there aren't many quarterbacks that wind up with the franchise tag. There aren't many quarterbacks that wind up playing on a franchise tag. He's scheduled to make $31.4 million this season. If the two sides cannot get a long-term deal worked out by July 15th and Dak continues to insist he wants a 4-year deal, the Cowboys want a 5-year deal, neither side willing to budge, and they have to franchise him again next year when the cap could be flat or down due to the lack of attendance and the lower revenues. That means his franchise figure for next year will be $37.7 million when the cap is flat or down. That could be crippling to a Cowboys cap where they're already paying Ezekiel Elliott and Amari Cooper and some of the offensive linemen that they are. And then the year after, if we're going to extrapolate even more, his franchise figure for that year would be $54.4 million. So unless Dallas signs him to a long-term deal, Dak is just going to continue to make more and more money.
And the Cowboys are going to continue to be more and more strapped. Let me explain, but let's walk through why Dak might have done this. First, there is the concept of good faith. I've spoken to many today, including Mike Fisher and Bobby Belt, two guys that cover the Dallas Cowboys very, very well. And the kind of things you hear is this. It was time. Dak wanted to get into the playbook. He wants to be available for training camp, even if we don't know when training camp will necessarily start. But it was time to start learning Mike McCarthy's offense. It was time to begin the process of putting this Cowboys offense together for 2020. Plus, maybe this breaks the stalemate, thaws the ice, allows some negotiation to begin to move forward on a four-year deal. It was, in essence, inevitable. But then there is what Adam Schefter laid out. If, in fact, Dak plays the season on the franchise tag, think about the position that puts the Cowboys in 1 year from now. They might have their quarterback this year for $31 million. But the coronavirus economy, the future, and its uncertainty isn't just a problem for players. It's a problem for teams. It's a problem for the league. So what will revenues look like after the 2020 season? Will the salary cap go up like it always does in the NFL? Or perhaps after a season with limited fans, you're looking at the salary cap going flat or perhaps even down. At that time, Dak Prescott's second franchise tag goes up to almost $38 million. And now the Cowboys begun to be hamstrung. That's too much money paid out at one time to one player. So you start making compromises across your roster. Gotta let this guy go. Can't re-sign that guy. Can't play in free agency. Might have trouble signing your draft picks. As Schefter said, it begins the clock on the shift in leverage. And it gives these two parties one more year to hammer out a long-term deal. Dak wants four. The Cowboys want five. Dak gets paid this year. And the Cowboys are under pressure to get a long-term deal done before they tie up ungodly amounts of money in one player. This is why Dak Prescott signed his franchise tag. The leverage is now shifted to the quarterback. And that's my opening take, brought to you by My Computer Career, training for a better life. Just as a fun exercise, a little bit later in the show, we can explore what if that defensive conspiratorial reason played out. What kind of market would Dak find right now? What kind of teams could clear cap space or sign him if he were a free agent today? It's just for fun. It's not going to reflect anything in reality. Plus, let's talk about Bubba Wallace and NASCAR and the event that took place this weekend, a tragic, a horrific, an insulting event where a noose was found in Bubba Wallace's garage at Talladega. All that's coming up on The Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
Geico gets you access to licensed agents 24/7, which means that Geico is always there for you. If only everyone was always there for you, like your mom when you fill out really, really important paperwork on the first day of a new job.
Name, check. Birthday, Social Security, is that a thing? Hey, Mom, what is my Social Security number? Mom? Okay, let's guess. 0017. Oh, Gemini. Hashtag done.
Geico, always there for you with savings and 24/7 access to licensed agents.
The Will Cain Show.
William in Alabama.
Now, I very rarely ever agree with you, but I do agree with you on the assertion that everybody should be judge an individual and not a group. Right. I think you're pompous and arrogant, but I don't think that means all ESPN employees or all white people are pompous and arrogant. I just feel that way personally about you.
Oh, I appreciate that, William. Why do you listen to somebody so pompous and arrogant?
Well, I actually don't listen that often. That's how pompous and arrogant you are. It only takes a couple minutes.
Really cool moment from Talladega, Alabama today. As drivers took to the racetrack, they supported Bubba Wallace. I stand with Bubba Wallace is the hashtag, and Wallace himself took a photo with all the other drivers behind him with the quotation, together. Bubba Wallace this weekend reportedly found a noose in his garage, and it's been turned over to the FBI. It's the Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. This is an incident that will absolutely catch massive fire, depending on the outcome of the investigation. Right now, the FBI is involved, and you have to think, you just have to think, there is video that will reveal the culprit in this incident. Talladega Motor Speedway is one of the state-of-the-art speedways in the United States. Apparently, the facility involved was a new $50 million facility. Race cars are highly guarded from inspection to tampering, from teams to officials. You would have to think this thing was caught on tape. And if that's the case, every driver, every team owner has to be looking at his team going, if this is somebody on this team, you are over. It will be massively explosive once the videotape reveals exactly what went down. For their sake, NASCAR's president, Steve Phelps, addressed the idea that a videotape might reveal exactly what happened. Listen to this.
Yeah, Jordan, we're not going to get into the specifics about the number of cameras and, you know, what is on the cameras, how many. We will collect all that information. It will be obviously part of what the FBI is looking at. You know, again, as details become available that we can share, we will share. Too early to get into specifics around video, the video usage or what we were able to capture on video.
It's NASCAR President Steve Phelps addressing what video evidence might be available. Many will be awaiting and nervous about the results of that. We'll get into it a little bit later here on the Will Cain Show. But it's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Over the last 2.5 years, we've had a lot of fun. Some highlights, some lowlights. And our boy Bubba's gone through the library, and he's pulled a few of the greatest hits in this show's history. Bubba, take us a little bit, if you will, down memory lane.
All right. Yeah, I've got a bunch here from 2018, 2019, 2020. We're still got some gems in 2018. Let's break out just a quick one before we get to a little longer one here, just to whet the appetite. This is from November of 2018.
A Will Cain Show throwback.
I read this on ESPN Insider. What is it? Chalk? It's Chris Falica talking about this.
Just whetting the appetite.
Yeah, I mean, that's a small appetizer. Just another name I mispronounced. What are we going to do?
But this is this one's a little longer. So this one we got to kind of buckle in here, but we got a little time here. So this is from December of 2018, and this doesn't really involve me. This is more Will, Nuno, and our old friend Cerruti.
A Will Cain Show throwback.
What do you want on this show? You want us to keep it real. You want us to tell you like it is. You know, we like the Leo Routins moments where things get real.
The question is, what do you want?
Because here's what I think is funny.
Don't talk Cowboys so much. Don't do so much Cowboys talk. In this way, you are indiscernible from a Twitter troll. And the minute that I don't talk Cowboys, if it's about Wentz or today, I have people on my feed, where are you when they lose? You don't open up with Cowboys. Then you want me to talk Cowboys. See, the truth is, you don't want me to have the Dak Wentz debate unless it turns out in favor of Wentz. It's not that you don't want the conversation. You just want it to turn out a certain way. It's not that you don't want me to talk Cowboys
Colts. No, that wasn't the case.
You just want me to say,
you brought up
Dan Orlovsky.
Yeah.
And you said, Dan Orlovsky said, the Colts are better than the Cowboys and what the Cowboys do.
And you got defensive right away.
Yes, negative.
I said
I disagree.
You got defensive. And that
nonsense.
Triggered everything. The point Cerruti was making is the Patriots lost a horrible game where you saw Tom Brady make some mistakes. The Rams are in a free fall. that's a better or a bigger discussion than, hey, what about Wentz versus Dak? Where you were headed. That's all it was.
No. Here are my show notes. Look through them all.
But do you want to talk about
through
that
them all?
Too?
Is there
do
a Dak? Look, here's my phone. Here's my phone. I email my topics, okay? You can do whatever you want. Find a Dak versus Wentz. No, stop
again?
Talking. You find a Dak versus Wentz. I didn't want to have Dak versus Wentz. I wanted to have Foles versus Wentz, which I think is a real story. But you believe my Foles versus Wentz debate is actually about Dak. You were the ones forcing Dak versus Wentz into this show. I don't want to talk about Dak versus Wentz today. Hell, the Cowboys weren't on my list to talk about today because it's a... Oh, see, here we go.
Why? Because they lost.
You want me to talk about the Cowboys.
Every Eagle just fan like here told you that. Every Eagle fan here told you, why are you making this a big deal? It's not a big deal. They're happy with
go get Arnaga. Go get Arnaga right now. Walk out there. No, who? Get up. Go get Mike and ask him, is it a big deal? Philly fans are all grumbling to each other about it. They're all grumbling about Foles versus Wentz.
But this is my point, Will. You want this to be true because you want there to be turmoil with the Eagles because you are a Cowboys fan.
Is it true?
I don't think so.
I think it is. So what I want has nothing to do with it. I think it is true.
Listen, this comes down to you want... I thought this show is a safe space where everybody could disagree and I can give it back to you and there are no personal feelings. But you took it personally this morning.
I don't want you, Pat. I wanted Mike. I don't need Pat the Eagles fan. I want Mike the Eagles fan. This is all you can find? Are they interchangeable? You couldn't find Mike, so you grabbed Pat? By the way, I was willing to talk about the Cowboys-Colts game in the way it was supposed to be talked about today, from the Colts' perspective and how good they are. But that's not what you want, and that's my point. You want me to come out here and agree with you. It is fine. It's not a safe space. It's the opposite of that, Saruti. I do want the pushback. What I don't want is a bunch of psychiatrists running my show who want to think they know my motivations from moment to moment. If that's the case, hell, give Trey Wingo a pay raise and bring him in to produce the show. I could get a ton of people willing to look at my motivations and try to see what my hidden feelings are. I tell you the way I think it is. Does it look like I'm hiding something? Rams Bears next in the Will Cain Show.
Oh my gosh.
Did that hurt to listen back to?
Gosh, yes. I mean, that was tense. Will, lighten up.
How many of those would you say you had on this show in its run?
Meltdowns like that?
Excluding the last like week and a half?
What do you think it is? If we set the over under at a dozen, you take the over?
No.
It's unfortunate that we can't see the video of you throwing everything, because that's the best part. When you said, Nuno, here are my notes, and you threw them everywhere, and you could hear it, but for those, I mean, you literally threw them everywhere. And then an underrated part of that whole thing is Saruti saying, oh, you conveniently forgot to bring them to the meeting earlier.
I know. Here's the thing, man. Like, listening to that, let's say you just tuned into this show in that moment, or that's the only segment you ever heard. You think we all hate each other, or at least you guys should hate me. That is the old days when Nuno played Take Doctor. You remember that?
It without laughing half the time.
I know. It's a role he's relinquished as he's risen the ranks of management. He used to really question my motivations on everything, and I hated it. Anytime I had something to say, it was always like, well, you're really saying it because you're thinking this, or you're really going with that take because you're trying to get people to think this. And I just hated it so much.
I was just surprised that wasn't in a commercial break, given how Nuno went back at you.
You're right, Mike. He did it on air. That's another role he's relinquished, because when he sat in the shotgun seat, he was willing to come at me and question my motives. But now that he's in the captain's chair, he doesn't do those things, at least not on air.
Heavy lies the crown.
Heavy lies the crown. It might be all for the better, because that was some tense radio, and that's some Straight Talk brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. That being said, I do think I was generally right about what I was saying. You guys want me to talk Cowboys, but you just want me to admit they're not good. That's what you'd like me to do. Come on and talk about them when they lose, but not when they win. That being said, I think I was making a lot of good points there. Tim Hasselbeck, next on The Will Cain Show.
It's your home speaking, and I need you to do me a couple of favors. First, could you get that blueberry that rolled under the fridge last week? It's throwing my feng shui off. Second thing, bundle your home and car insurance with Geico. It's easy, and we could save money. Lastly, I know you were thinking of painting the nursery back to off-white, but I'm actually feeling this baby blue. Didn't think it was my color, but I am pulling it off.
Geico. For bundling made easy, go to geico.com today.
It's the Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio. Coming up in just a moment, the very first guest in the history of the Will Cain Show. But first, Rex in Texas has a quick question. What's up, Rex?
Hey, Will. Listen, I'm just curious. Your next venture when you leave ESPN, is it going to be called The Meltdown with Will Cain?
I like it. I do. I'm going to give that some thought. The problem with that is it creates a sense of expectation, Rex, and I have to say they are somewhat unpredictable, as is most things in life that are volatile. I can't control it. It just happens. Question my motives is a good technique to induce it, though. But I like it, Rex. You got something there, something for me to think about.
Well, you know, whatever you do, best of luck. Keep us posted.
All right, man. I appreciate it. On January 2nd, 2018 at 3:30 p.m. Eastern Time, that is 12:30 Pacific, the very first guest in the history of the Will Cain Show was ESPN NFList Tim Hasselbeck, who's on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Did you know that? Did you know you were the first guest ever on the show?
You teased it just a second ago, and I was like, I wonder who that was. That is. And then I'm like, wait a second. Like, he's just going to this caller, and then he's going to come to me, and, like, it was me? Is that right?
It was you, Hasselbeck. I'm glad it meant so much in your life that you really filed it away.
Was Jeff Saturday not available? Like, how did it happen that I was the first?
Do you know how this works? My gut is it went one of two ways. I said to them, get me my favorite, in which case that was you, or you were on the schedule that day and it was your turn in the rotation with the launch of the show.
Or everyone but Hasselbeck hates Will.
That sounds a distinct possibility
as well.
Those
guys probably get along, won't they?
That's a distinct possibility as well. Well, I think also if we put a fourth category, a fourth possibility in there, is you felt indebted to me after beating me in pull-ups on camera.
I did. But I will say, I have some fun about it. I was impressed with your ability to do pull-ups. For, I would think, as water polo players go, like, you've got to be, like, at least top, you know, I don't know, 80th percent, you know, of being able to do pull-ups.
Such a lukewarm compliment. Hey, do you think if we got back in the gym right now, you could still squeeze out, was it 37 you did? I did 32 maybe, something like that?
Well,
could do 37?
I would say this. I did one more than you.
Oh, was it just
so
one?
I had the advantage of you going first. So I had a target. So, you know, with a target, there's a chance I would be able to do it. But here's the difference. If it was like a best of three, and we had to do it like in three, I take that back. If it was like a 2-day deal where like we did it on a Monday and then we had to do it again on a Tuesday, there's no shot that I would even be able to come close on a Tuesday. Whereas like I think you could have ripped out those 34 pull-ups on a Monday and you could have gone and done the same thing on a Tuesday. Like for me, if I do, you know, one more than you on Monday, I'm not going to be able to raise my arm above my head.
Some inflammation. Tim Hasselbeck here.
A little bit.
On the Will Cain Show. You know, it's kind of hard at first, Tim, to figure out why Dak would have signed this franchise tender. But I do think, as Adam Schefter and others have walked us through, it's something that really shifts the burden to the Cowboys. Now they really have to get a long-term deal done, right? Because that's a ton of money to pay out. It's a ton on your cap. And even worse than that, next year it's an untenable amount of money that hamstrings your roster. So it's weird. It seems obvious now, but I'm still a little surprised Dak signed his franchise tag.
So I think there was probably a point in time in this process of like, hey, listen, I don't need to rush to sign this because we're working on this, right? We're going to get it done. And now as you've gotten closer to that time, you go, all right, this actually kind of helps me assert even more leverage on you guys. You know, I've heard people talking about how this like takes Dak's leverage away, and I couldn't disagree more. Here's what everyone needs to realize for Dak is that his agent, is the way they're going to look at this is, guys, he's going to make 2 years, $70 million from you. That's what you guys have to pay him if you want him to be your starting quarterback the next 2 years. I mean, it's really a foregone conclusion. Dak Prescott every year is going to throw at least 22 touchdowns, and he's going to throw less than 15 picks. Now, he might throw 30 touchdowns and 8 picks, but he's going to be in that range. That's what he's going to do. It's what he's done every year. And, oh, by the way, his team around him is probably as good as any team he's been around offensively. So he's going to play well. Those are going to be the numbers. So if you want him next year, you're talking about, you know, in 2021, $70 million over two. That's where you start.
Mm.
So for him, it's like, all right, if it's 4 years, like, I don't know why this is really that hard. It has to just strictly be about, is it 4 or 5 years? Because it's going to, like, look at Goff and Wentz's numbers. It's just going to be a little bit better than their contract. That's what it's going to be. It's going to be over $110 million guaranteed. It's going to come in at 37, 38 a year, somewhere around that. That's what it's going to be.
The 4 to 5 years also doesn't have a middle point. There's no compromise to be made there. So somebody's going to win and somebody's going to lose. The Cowboys are going to get their five years, or Dak's going to get his four.
The compromise there is how much money you get immediately on signing. Like, that's the compromise there. You know, a lot of times we talk about guaranteed money, but, like, when do you get the money too? You know, look, the Cowboys are not a cash poor team, so they have the ability to you know, immediately on signing pay out big bonuses in an income tax free state. So, you know, there can be, I think, probably some middle ground. But you're right. I mean, I think by and large there's a winner and loser, but there can be some middle ground there.
Do you give any credence? Because there's still people out there that believe this shows a lack of belief in Dak from the Dallas Cowboys.
No,
he does not have
not at all. No, because look, they tried to get him, you know, prior to the season, if you listen to Ed Werder's reporting, and I don't know why we'd think that Ed would be wrong about this, but essentially turned down a deal that was around the $33 million a year range at that point. You're not offering a guy that kind of money if you're like not sure about him. You're not sure about him. Like, you're slow playing him, and you're not offering him a deal. You're making him play out the season. They wanted to get a deal done with him, but they also, I think, were trying to use, you know, the fact that he hadn't made money against him. Like, I think they were shocked when he doesn't take that deal. Like, and I will say this: it takes serious guts. Like, I've always liked Dak Prescott, had a ton of respect for him prior to this whole process. But I have even more respect for him now because of the guts that it takes. Think about this. You know, coming into the season, he had made less than, I think, $3 million, or right around $3 million, say, right? So I think it was just north of it, like 3.25. Imagine getting offered a deal where it's like 33 a year. It's probably at that point, I would guess, you know, 70 or more guaranteed maybe on signing. And being like, nope, I'm going to bet on myself because I know these other deals coming down the pipe here, and I deserve more than that. I mean, think about that.
No, you're right. He's bet on himself, and it's an incredibly admirable trait, and it's won me over as well. It also makes me think that's the kind of guy you want as your franchise quarterback.
Yeah.
Listen, man, over the last 2.5 years – at ESPN for over 5 years, I've loved you to know you. I've loved having you on this show. You're the first guest ever. I'm really happy to have you on. In the last week of this show, I've enjoyed every minute talking to you. This isn't goodbye. We're going to stay in touch. We're going to keep talking. But I just want to thank you for everything you've done on this show over the last 2.5 years.
Well, Will, I appreciate it. It's always been fun for me to come on. And even when it was logistically hard, I would do it driving to the airport. Never wanted to miss it. So it's always been fun for me. Enjoyed becoming friends with you while you've been at ESPN as well.
All right, bud. You take care. Thanks as always.
See ya. Bye.
There's ESPN NFL. It's Tim Hasselbeck here on The Will Cain Show. Okay, coming up, let's get a little more into this incident at Talladega Motor Speedway. with a noose reportedly found in the garage of Bubba Wallace. That's coming up on The Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
GEICO gets you access to licensed agents 24/7, which means that GEICO is always there for you. If only everyone was always there for you. Like your mom, when you fill out really, really important paperwork on the first day of a new job.
Name? Check. Birthday? Social Security? Is that a thing? Hey, Mom, what is my Social Security number? Mom? Okay, let's guess. 0017. Oh, Gemini. Hashtag done.
GEICO. Always there for you with savings and 24/7 access to licensed agents.
It's the Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. Cars, homes, boats, motorcycles, RVs, and more at progressive.com. Coming up in the second hour of the Will Cain Show, I want to talk about individual choice. Would you choose to return to sports in a coronavirus environment? Would you make that choice for yourself or allow your kids to make that choice? That's coming up a little bit later on the Will Cain Show. The story out of NASCAR yesterday was that a noose was found in Bubba Wallace, the lone black driver in NASCAR's garage. His current investigation includes the FBI, and there is some questions, and we've had the conversation a little bit earlier on the Will Cain Show, whether or not there would be video evidence. Right now, that's not clear, and the president of NASCAR says he'll talk about that when the time is right. But fans weren't allowed in this area, so what's interesting is this is going to be somebody who was involved in NASCAR with one of the teams or with NASCAR's administration. Ryan McGee on Marty McGee and the ESPN's post show started talking about the limited number of people that could have done this. Listen to this.
Not only are they limited to the number of people who can be in the garage, 16 people per team, they're limited to where those people can walk and where they can work. There's literal red tape on the ground that says you can go here and you can't. The drivers aren't allowed to go to their car until the last possible second. And so the only people who are there, it's about 900 people.
900 people. This is, this is a horrendous act. Right? This is offensive to any person of dignity and moral fiber. This is something that deserves out and out condemnation. It also deserves full investigation to find out exactly what happened, who did it, and I would hope with the FBI involved that that is going to be a fruitful investigation. But until then, the act as a symbol just absolutely abhorrent, and I think everybody of any moral character is capable and should denounce it as such. I want to talk about what we had to do this weekend because I'm tardy. I'm going to tell you what I mean, but first, let me hear from Cole in Georgia. What's up, Cole?
Dub C, Will Cain. What's up?
Yes, sir.
Man.
Haven't heard from you in a while.
Well, to be quite honest, I have been listening to your show, but I haven't felt I had anything productive to add. Mm. So I didn't call in.
There we go. That's really rational, reasonable position to hold.
So, dear God, one last time. Can I address? I think I'm not normally a big conspiracy theory guy.
Okay.
But I think I see what's going on.
Oh.
Dak is signing a 1-year tender right now to the franchise tag. And you are leaving ESPN. Mm. So if A plus B equals C, next year, have you made a deal with Jerry Jones to be the starting quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys?
I mean, Cole, I couldn't slip it past you. I was waiting to announce this. If you'll notice, I haven't talked about what my future holds, but there's going to be a short internship. We think it's going to be enough to get me up to snuff, you know, just learn the basics. But by next year, I think I should be playing if not Pro Bowl level, close to Pro Bowl level.
I mean, if Brady can do it at 43, I mean, you got this.
Exactly. I got this. And I was born for it.
You're born for it, absolutely. No, I wanted to call in since it's your last week and tell you seriously. The past 2.5 years have been some of the hardest 2.5 years of my life, and this show has meant so much to me. And you have become I know through private conversation, you know what I'm talking about. I can't thank you enough for all you've done. I mean, you've created a community, not just a show. It's really befuddling. I mean, I can't think of another radio show that has created such a community.
Cole, I appreciate it. You know you're part of this family here at the Will Cain Show, like we called it from the beginning, a part of the Willitia. What my future holds, we'll talk about as the week goes on, but I know this. I want to keep a community together. I'm not very good at social media, never have been, but it's going to be one of my only outlets for you guys in the short term. We're going to keep getting together. My Instagram, C. Will Cain, my Twitter, Will Cain. But I feel the same way about you, Cole, and about the community in general. I really do feel connected to everybody, and it's the coolest thing. More so than even all the Cowboys debates I won. It's the coolest thing, being connected to people that care about something in common. Yes, sports on a superficial level, but we all know we're all talking about something deeper on a daily basis here as well. And it's meant a lot to me as well, Cole. Thank you, man.
All right, man. Well, you take care.
We'll be in touch, I promise. Take care.
All right.
We had weekend homework, and it was Guilty Pleasures. The movies are terrible. I picked North Shore. Bubba picked Freddy Got... I can't say it until you didn't have the beep ready.
Yeah, not ready.
Nuno Bleep. Got The Last Dragon. Mike has Vacation. Pat has Rumble in the Bronx. Guess what? I've watched zero. I have to binge
what?
All five of them.
I feel bad for you.
Oh, and these guys are telling me I'm
What'd
in
rough shape.
What'd
you do all weekend?
Shape. I did also bad things. But now it's time to buckle down. More Will Cain Show next.
Thank you for listening to the Will Cain Podcast. You can listen to The Will Cain Show live weekdays at 3 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on the ESPN app. The Will Cain Podcast.
Geico knows there are many reasons why you ride. From the thrill of the revving engine and pure adrenaline of flying down the highway, to the confidence of knowing that Geico always has your back with 24/7 access to claims service. But Ari Snyder has one reason in particular.
I have extremely large upper arms. They won't even fit into most shirts. Thankfully, biking really embraces vest culture, so I feel accepted.
Geico Motorcycle. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.